Open to Genesis 1. I'm not kidding. Open to Genesis 1. Now, but before we start reading there, keep your place in Genesis 1. You should be able to find that one. But come over to Luke 6. Now, before I start really delivering the service, I want to put a plug in for all of our pastor, Dave Roberson. I want to thank God again for the foundational teaching that he so faithfully delivered to us year after year. I remember we'd every conference we're thinking, oh, we're going to come and we're going to get a new word. We're going to, what's Pastor Dave? And he'd say, open to Romans chapter 8. We'd start speaking in tongues, you know. But see, he was the one that taught us. Christians tend to ask the Lord roof questions. Okay. We want roof questions. You know, I want to know this and I want to know that. And we want to go right directly to the roof. And he says, no. You can't put a roof. First, you have to lay the foundation. Then the walls of your building have to be built. And it's line by line, precept upon precept. Each revelation builds on the previous revelation. I have learned, now Dave didn't say this so much, but I have learned, I have laid bricks, I have laid blocks in my life, and I have laid stone walls. And really, it's more like laying a stone wall, because sometimes you'll just pray till your lips roll off in the floor, and so many hours you prayed, and you get a two-sentence revelation, you know. Other times you just pray a little bit, and it takes 4 pages to write it out, you know. So it's like a stone wall. A stonemason has to look ahead at the stones that, okay, now this one supports that one and these two little ones support this one over here. But the walls need to come up uniformly. But only then are you ready to start laying your roof on top, see? God's bringing us into some roof questions in this generation. We're actually going to go beyond any of our mentors now. And I'm saying that for this reason. Even the Smith Wigglesworths, thank God for Smith Wigglesworth. Thank God for Kenneth E. Hagin. Thank God for Oral Roberts. I could go on and on. Thank God for Dave Roberson. And thank God for the miracles that we saw through them. And thank God for the revelation knowledge. But still, not with any of them, could you bring your blind child, your crippled child, on any given service and know 100% that you were going to take that child home seeing, walking, totally healed. Yep. We're going beyond our mentors. Yep. Bronk and I was talking about that because Jesus said we were. He said, the works that I do shall you do also. Because there's only been one that was possible so far, and that was him. That was Jesus. But he's the one that told us, the works that I do shall you do also. And even greater than these. So Bronk and I were talking about that this morning. Said, man, we're going past the moon. We're going all the way to Mars. And then it hit me. Our mentor? He made Mars. He can certainly get us there. Isn't that right? He made Mars. Hallelujah. So I want to say again, this process, the works, what Pastor Dave taught. And what happens if you are consistent, you just read. I'm just going to summarize. If you just assimilate the books, it's the best thing you can do. At least, if you can't do that, at least start asking the Holy Spirit how to meditate the Word of God in whole images. You remember those teachings? But it's best to just assimilate the books and pray in tongues. Assimilate the books and pray in tongues. And line upon line, first off, he starts tearing down any false doctrine that's in you. But then line upon line, he starts building your walls and your foundations. And the reason I'm saying that is this. Now, you'll enjoy this. See, I know I'm teaching in this congregation are preachers, are people in training to be preachers or ministers of some kind. I can't throw a pebble in here and not hit a preacher anywhere, you know. Watch this, because we tease about, what are you going to teach? I don't know. Brock says, are you got any notes for me? And I'm going, I thought you had notes for me. Because we don't prearrange anything. We want to deliver what he wants to deliver. So even as of yesterday morning, I didn't really know. I mean, I've got 1,000. I have become, by this process taught to us by Pastor Dave, all of us have become stewards of the mysteries, you know. So I didn't really know yet what he wanted to do. Yesterday morning, during the worship service, he made 8 statements to me. Okay. And I have my phone and my notepad, I'm putting down these 8 statements. Each one of those statements correlated with a verse, and he gave them to me in sequence. Now those are the bones of my message. I go home and I do have to find the chapter and verse. I don't know it that well, but I know the verse, but I have to find it, whether it's in Isaiah or Genesis or wherever. But he gave me those 8 statements before I heard Jim speak, and certainly before I heard Bronk speak. Now you guys watch. You're going to enjoy this. How it's just a continuation of the same mind of Christ. He's just coming from a different angle, but it's exactly the same thing. Now, that doesn't mean every service will have the same theme. He may have other things. I mean, he may use some... God help us tomorrow. Nathan's preaching. I mean, God only knows what's coming, you know. Fire and brimstone. God only knows, you know. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, I just want to encourage you again. This works. Our job, don't try and figure it out. Pray it out. Amen. Don't try and figure it out. Just pray it out. He knows what he's doing. He'll give you what you need. Okay. With that introduction now, I just wanted to encourage you to continue to assimilate the books, pray in tongues. I don't care what your ministry calling is. Assimilate the books, pray in tongues. And that's Old Testament and New Testament. Jim brought that out yesterday. You're going to see some beautiful types and shadows today from the Old Testament. But it's that same thing because he has a plan. All right, let's start in Luke 6 here today. I just want to show you three verses. We're going to come back to this statement, these statements real strong during this message. And I really don't know if I'm going to deliver all 8 things during this message or more during the week. I'm not in charge. My job is not to rush. My job is to follow him. If he takes rabbit trails, I'm taking rabbit trails. Oftentimes when he does that, he's leaving the 99 and going after the 1. So, okay? So, all right. Luke 6, let's look at verses 43 through 45. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Now, the subject here is not horticulture. He's not really teaching on trees, okay? He's using trees as an analogy because now he's telling what this is about, verse 45, a good man. Notice he started off a good tree. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Now, I want you to notice this. According to Jesus, he's using trees as an analogy for humans. There are only 2 kinds of people. Here he's saying there's only 2 kinds of trees. It's either a bad tree, or it's a good tree. Are we in agreement? There's no third kind of tree. There's a bad tree, and there's a good tree. How do you tell which is which? The fruit. Okay? Now, you can go to Genesis 1. I think we're through with Luke 6. You don't have to keep the marker there. I just wanted to establish the point that Jesus is making there. There are only 2 kinds of trees. Well, what kind of tree, what kind of man did God make in the beginning? And that's why we're in Genesis 1, which I'll be there in a minute. And we're going to look at verse 26. When God repeats himself 3 times in 2 consecutive verses, he's trying to make a point. And he does that right here. He makes no bones about it how he intended man to be. So Genesis 1:26, in the beginning, when God made man, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So he's already said, let's make man in our image, let's make man in our likeness. And look at verse 27. So God created man in his own image. As if that's not good enough. In the image of God created he him. Now notice, male and female created he them. How many times, it's really more than three times, I think, he said in those two verses, I made man, which includes woman, in my image. Now right now, see, I want to jump to Ephesians chapter 4. Because when you got born again, he recreated you in his image. That was your Genesis all over again. That was Genesis for you. But we'll get there later. All right, so man was, would you say he's a good tree? If he's made in the image of God, the very life and nature of God flowing through him, he's like a tree with righteous sap. Is that okay? Doesn't a tree live by the sap that's in it? He had righteous, godly, holy, in the image of God sap running through him, and it produced good fruit. And God only gave him one commandment. Now, we're skipping a stone, like Jim was saying. We're just going to, but he's going somewhere. Come over to chapter 2, verse 17. Here's the commandment. And we'll read 16 and 17 together. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, when does he die? 900 years later? No, he dies the very day that he eats it. Isn't that right? All right, let's come on over to the horrible chapter 3. And again, so that we can contain, I'm going to skip over so many things here. It's hard, isn't it, Jim? Okay. So you know the serpent came and tempted Eve. And we get down to the part in verse 6. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Boy, right there, 1 John. Those of you that's been for the 1 John series, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Here it started, right here. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now there's just, we could teach volumes right here. We could, on issue by issue. Why did the husband eat after he saw his wife eat? Notice she ate first. This is, now, when it's my opinion, I'll tell you it's my opinion. In my opinion, he knew what God said, the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. Well, he's right there. Said he's with her. He watched her eat it. And I think he was waiting for her to fall to the ground dead. He didn't know anything about spiritual death. He was expecting physical, I think. Now, the enemy, if we'd have read what he said, he kept saying, you'll not die. Remember, he said, you'll not surely die. So now Adam's got a choice. God said, if you eat of it, you'll die. I watched her eat it. She's standing right there as pretty as ever. We do know men, whoa, man. Whoa. Boy, when I first saw Sue, whoa. Oh, anyway. What hath God wrought? Anyway, I don't know. So, Adam used his reasoning, his deductive powers that God gave to man, but he used it in the wrong way. He said, God said we'd die if we ate. I watch my wife eat. All of my physical senses, what I see, I can touch her, I can feel her. Everything tells me, all of my physical senses tell me, she did not die. Satan said she wouldn't die. I have a choice to make. Who's telling me the truth? Am I going to believe God's word, or am I going to believe what my physical senses tell me? I'm going to choose what my physical senses tell me. He took that bite of whatever it was, and we don't know if it was an apple or not, but he disobeyed God. And at that instant, that moment, he was born again in reverse. He went from life to death. You notice in verse 7, instantly it said the eyes of them both were opened. The change happened right there. In his spirit, he went from a good tree to a bad tree. You got that? That sin nature that all of us were born with from our mother's womb was passed down from Adam and Eve. He went from light to darkness. I want you to understand, he went from a good tree to a bad tree. Jesus used the term a thorn tree. Okay? He went from righteousness by nature to sinful by nature. Have I made the point? Now, come on over to verse 21. Skipping over so many things, it's hard for me to do. Actually, we need to back up just a little bit. I'm sorry. Back to verse 7. The eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, in America, when you think of apron, you think of something from the waist down. Let's think of something they made for themselves. They're covering themselves. They're trying to cover their nakedness. Can you see that? All of a sudden, you've got a bad tree, a thorn tree, that you're trying to hide with something else. They're saying, no, I'm not a thorn tree. I'm a fig tree. Figs produce good fruit. But all of a sudden, you've got a thorn tree dressed up like a fig tree. And if you write in your Bible, write, the beginning of religion. That's the beginning of religion in your Bible, right there. Okay? Cain, he established another religion. He did his best to establish his own way to God, a bloodless way to God. He'll offer up the fruit of the ground. But see, did God accept this? This fig tree, this mockery, this imitation? God saw right through those figs, didn't he? Not figs. He saw right through those fig leaves. He knew what was going on. You become a bad tree. So God, now come on over to verse 21. Now you're going to see the beginning of the gospel. Over there you saw the beginning of religion. Now you're going to see the beginning of the gospel here in verse 21. Now unto Adam and also to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now you're seeing the first physical death ever recorded in the Bible. Okay? Something innocent. I know it. Don't you know it had to be a lamb? That's my opinion. I can't prove that. But I just believe it had to be a lamb. Something innocent. Something wasn't expecting death. Something innocent, never did anything wrong. Wonder what Adam and Eve thought. They'd never seen anything really physically die. Wonder what they thought. I know they were scared. That's why they hid themselves. That's why they hid themselves behind the fig leaves. Because what did God say? In the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. They didn't know they died spiritually. They really didn't know. But they did. They're expecting to die. And all of a sudden, God takes His wrath, the punishment, out on some innocent animal. And that innocent lamb, innocent animal, whatever it was, blood flowed. Blood flowed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But that was only a type and shadow of the Lamb who would one day come. There is your beginning of the gospel right there. Isn't that good stuff? But Adam first tried to hide behind a covering of fig leaves. Right? The first statement that the Lord gave me that brought all that was Adam and Eve covered themselves with fig leaves. First statement that He gave me. The second one He gave me was Jesus, for 3 years while He was on planet Earth, did you know He was looking for fruit? Look to Luke chapter 13. We'll start in verse 6. Each one of these you could do a seminar on and do the context all around them, but he's got somewhere he's going. The second statement that the Lord said to me, Jesus spent 3 years looking through the Lord's vineyard, looking for fruit. I knew where that was. It's Luke 13, verse 6. So He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, now notice, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. Let me ask you, how many years did Jesus minister on earth? Some say three, three and a half. Close enough, right? Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, after that, thou shalt cut it down. All right. The third statement that the Lord said to me, Jesus cursed the fruitless fig tree. Right near the end of His ministry, going over to Mark 11, 12 through 14. See, the fig tree has always been one of the symbols of Israel. Let's say it this way. One of the symbols of the people of God. A fig tree is a good tree. It may be a good tree, but a fruitless one is useless. Maybe get some shade out of it. Doesn't help a whole lot if you're hungry. But look at Mark 11, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, He was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, He came, if haply, that means perchance, He might find anything thereon. And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves. You reckon that reminded Him of anything? Adam in the garden, covered with leaves. But Adam wasn't even really a fig tree. He was a thorn tree. But he was trying to hide behind the leaves. I'm a good tree. Mm-hmm. For the time of figs was not yet. See, for years I stumbled over that. Why in the world are you looking for figs on a tree when it's not time for the figs yet? Well, He did it on purpose because He's teaching them what's about to happen in this new covenant. He's about to show them He had to find a tree that had no fruit on it to demonstrate what He's about to do. You'll see it here in a minute. And Jesus answered and said unto it. Now remember, we just read the part. He's been looking for fruit for three and a half years. He's been looking for fruit and He's finding none. Now we've come to the end of this thing. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And His disciples heard it. Now if you want to know the truth now, see Galatians 3:21 says, we're not going to turn there, but if there was ever a law that could have been given, that could give life, it would have been the law of Moses because it is perfect. It is perfect. It's righteous and holy. Everything in it is beneficial and good. It is perfect. But if there had been any law that could give life, the law would have been it. But it can't give life. If anything, the law, if you'll allow me, was a covering of fig leaves for the thorn tree. Because nobody was born again under that covenant. You couldn't go from a thorn tree to a righteous fruit tree under the law. The law could not give life. All it could do is be restrain sin, but it couldn't change the nature of the tree. Can you understand that? The law was given because of transgression till the seed should come. Amen? Got it? But it couldn't give life. And Jesus is saying, enough of this. We're coming to the end of this covenant. I'm going to establish another covenant. I'm going to change the tree itself. We're not going to cover it anymore with anything. We're going to change the tree. You're going to go from a thorn tree to a fruit tree that's going to bear fruit. Glory to God. And look what he does the very next thing. The very next thing. Mark 11. My feet are already running around here. I'm hanging onto the pulpit because my feet are already going. Anyway. Heats my chili, I'm telling you. I don't care what you think. It blows my dress up. You know what happens? When that happens, you go, woo! Glory, woo! That was refreshing. Anyway. Heats my chili, spins my prop, blows my dress up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Mark 11, 15. I can just hear TVs going off all over the nation. All right, that's it. We're not watching this guy anymore. Anyway. And they came to Jerusalem. Now, this is the very next. He curses the fig tree. Oh, get this imagery now. That covenant is coming to an end. Where all we're doing is covering thorn trees. That's coming to an end. And the very next thing he does, he comes to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple. Now that temple is a type of you. You now were born again. You are the temple of God. You individually and collectively, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So he's visually showing what's about to happen with this change of covenant. He curses that fig tree. Then he goes into the temple and he begins casting out them that sold and bought in the temple. He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. He would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written? Now notice, my house. You are God's house. My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. Why? Why was it a den of thieves? Thorn tree. At its core, still, the temple was being ruled by money changers, by greed, by self, more for me. There was a rate of exchange. You could only offer the correct Hebrew money as an offering. So there was if you were Greek or any other, you came and brought your money and they would convert it to the proper money so you could offer it. They were making a killing doing that. They were doing the same thing, selling doves and cattle. Now, I want you to look at Matthew's account of this. You get a little more. Matthew giving the account of the same thing in Matthew 21, 12 through 14, but he brings out something that Mark did not. That's why we need all the Gospels. Thank God. I hear pages turning. I hear fingers tapping. Glass. Matthew 21, 12. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out a few of them. All of them. All of them. Yes, okay, yes, sir. Okay. And cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple. Now notice, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. I'm telling you right now, we read that too quick. L.A., come. I don't have my props, but I'm still going to do it. Hallelujah. Just sit right there. Sit right there for a minute. Doesn't he look like one of those evil money changers to you? A man full of greed. Give your best greed face. That ain't working. It ain't working. Mr. Innocent here. But see, he's sitting here. He's making money. He's you know, giving out money in exchange and things. And here comes, I get to be Jesus in this one. Here comes Jesus, and I said, get out. And he doesn't, no. No, he's not. You think this happened? They just, oh, you want me to leave? Okay, I'm leaving. No, no, no. Jesus said, get out. What? Get out. Now notice, we don't like to think this. If he had a, when I taught this before here, we had a card table set in front right here. It says he overturned the table of the money changers. He went, turned it over and said, get out! And he had a whip too. When you're praying in other tongues, Jesus is just that fierce, driving the money changers out of your temple. And he is just as serious about it in you as he was there. And he didn't give it a choice. You continue praying, that money changer is going. He's making you into a new tree. Thank you, thank you. Your glory to God. He is serious about this. Now notice Matthew brings this out. We're starting in verse 12 again. Jesus went into the temple of God, cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple. He overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, I love it again, my house. Say it again. I am the house of Jesus. I am the house of the Father. I am the house of the Holy Ghost. I am the house of God. So he says, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Now, only after he drove them out, the money changers are gone. The tables are overthrown. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. The tree has changed. The house has changed. It's not full of self and money changers and greed anymore. Him has taken up residence in the house. And when he takes up residence in the house, the lame and the blind and the halt will come to him in the temple, him in you, and he'll heal them today just like he healed them then. Glory! I'm getting a white hanky over here. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Him in the temple. He will not share that throne with mammon. Remember, he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. He didn't say it's hard, you could do it with difficulty. He said, you cannot serve both. One will be Lord, or the other will be Lord. You're going to serve one, but you can't serve both. We're going to get into purging later in the week. Hallelujah. Even on a good fig tree there. Even on a good fig tree. Someone say, well, I'm done with this conference right now. I'm not coming back. Even on a good tree, anyone knows it's got fruit trees, you got to prune some dead limbs. If some of the old limbs ain't never going to produce any fruit, and they got to go. Anyway, I don't know about you, I'm having a good time. Glory to God. See, the temple, notice how he changed. He says, this fig tree, I curse you. That thing died, did it not? And he cursed it from the roots. The very thing, and his disciples are what? I know they didn't understand then, but they understood later. Then he goes into the temple. He changes what's on the inside. He removes the greed and the money changers and the thievery and all of that old stuff. He removes that and replaces it with himself. Welcome to born again. He brought his nature. He brought himself, which, by the way, comes with all of his power. All of his authority. When he's in the house, the authority is in the house. Amen. So that temple that bore no fruit, that temple before it wasn't really bearing fruit, and that was the problem with the law. The law was good and righteous and holy. It was good, but it could not give life. So we're coming to the end of that covenant. We're going to change the tree. And the example that he gives, he goes into the temple, removes that of man, replaces it with himself. And nothing else will work. Nothing else will work. So let me read here. So that temple that was bearing no fruit, all of a sudden now it bore abundant fruit. The blind are being healed. The lame are being healed. Why? Because Jesus was alive in the temple. glory. That fig tree has always represented God's people. Religious man only covers himself with leaves. Religion will never produce the real fruit. But when we are born again, we become a new tree with a new life source. Christ in you is your hope of glory. That is the great mystery of the gospel. Amen? Now, Isaiah prophesied about this day. I'll teach on this maybe at another, well, and I'll do whatever he says, but the whole Isaiah 61, meditate that whole chapter. I cannot teach on it today. I won't do what he wants me to do. But I do want to bring this one verse to you. Turn to Isaiah 61. I just work here, okay? I'm doing the best I can to follow him. Isaiah 61. Because you've got to see the only one I have on my page is verse 3. But you've got to see the context here. We're talking about trees. So let's do read verse 3 first. To a point that Isaiah is prophesying about our day. He's seeing it afar off. Okay? To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now notice, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Why? That he might be glorified. Not that you be glorified, that he be glorified. Hello, trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. You have gone from a thorn tree of Adam to a righteous fruit tree of Christ. Christ is your Adam now. But the context, does this sound familiar? Back up two verses, Isaiah 61 verse 1. Does this sound familiar to you? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. Dear Lord, he's talking about the very first message that Jesus taught at Nazareth. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. And then there's our verse, the end result of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're going to become a new tree, a tree of righteousness. The planting of the Lord. You no longer have to cover yourself with fig leaves. You have become a fig tree. Amen. See, it's one thing trying to cover a thorn tree with figs to make it look like a fig tree. By the way, the church is full of thorn trees covered with fig leaves. The church at large, I'm talking. The last thing you want to be is a religious thorn tree. See, he's against lying, so I got to phrase it just right. We all put on our best face to come to church. We all do. And none of us are exactly the same person at home. But still, there's pruning going on with all of us. But see, in your heart of hearts, you know. He said, now this is Jim's message and Bronx's message. Because of false teachers in the body, so many people at this point are confused. And many of them think they're saved when they're not. The enemy is so trying to bring confusion into our country. You don't even know, this young generation doesn't even know if they're a male or a female. Do I marry Susie or do I marry Bob? Better marry Susie. Well, if you're a guy. Listen, how would I know if I'm a thorn tree and just covering myself with fig leaves? Well, examine your own fruit. And I don't mean the fruit at church. There's a man that I just love. I've known this man for decades. I love him. He's not listening to me right now because he doesn't like what I'm preaching. Because he'll tell you he's a Christian. He will. I love this guy. been shacking up with the same woman for 12 years, gets drunk on a weekly, sometimes almost daily basis, gets high all the time. That's not the fruit of righteousness. And this guy, this has been going on for 20, 30 years. Now, all of us, God gives us space to repent. Remember, even in Revelations with Jezebel and her followers, he said, I gave them space to repent. God gives us all space to repent. But listen, you're in danger if you've been at this 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and the fruit on your limbs is still drunkenness, fornication, and drugs. Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. You got to repent. Okay, hallelujah. See, Isaiah prophesied this about this day. Man, if you want to get blessed, read the rest of chapter 61. That's where we're going. But I can't do that one today. We are a new, be turning to John 15. We are a new species of tree having the life of Christ as the sap running through us. Is that okay with you? Righteous sap instead of sin sap. Is that okay? Make sense? We're a good tree. Now, all of us are in the process of being pruned, okay? I'll tell you, I don't know about you, the First John series, I hope you have heard that First John series. If you have not, you don't have much else to do. You need to hear that First John series. I mean, I taught it. My walk was already pretty doggone narrow. I got to tell you, pretty narrow. But after he got done with me in 1 John, my path got narrower yet. Then after that, he gives me the God at War series. I think there's only 4 messages there, which gave me a nugget that I had to have to finally unlock the Sermon on the Mount. I had most of the Sermon on the Mount for 20 years. But there's a few verses there I couldn't fit that square peg in that round hole. It just wouldn't go. So you can't teach it when you're like that. But what he gave me from the God of War, I went, oh! And now all of a sudden, the square pegs fit in the square holes, the round pegs fit in the round holes, and the Sermon on the Mount makes sense. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Which I also found out he taught on the plane. He taught it everywhere he went. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. Have you found John 15? Now we're going to talk about it a little bit here. See, and this remember, all of this came yesterday morning just during worship. I didn't know what Jim was going to preach. I sure didn't know what Bronk was going to preach last night about the washing of the water by the word. Watch this. John 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine. See, now that you're a new tree, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it. Why? Because he hates that limb. No, he purges it. Why? That it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean, and that's the same word, purged. Now you are purged, pruned, through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now that's Bronk's message last night. First you get a washing by the blood. That's when you get born again. But we all need repeated washings by the word. Jesus washed them by the word. He says, you're clean by the word that I have spoken unto you. But he continues a little further down. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. Here we go again. I am the vine. He's repeating himself. I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him. Now get this. The same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now let's look up at me for a minute. The thorn tree doesn't have him. The thorn tree cannot change its fruit. It's a sin tree. Now, the law can help restrain sin, but it can't give life. It can't change a thorn tree into a fruit-bearing tree. Isn't that right? And Jesus says, without me, if I don't become your source, let me say it this way, if I don't move into your temple, let's say it another way, if I don't conquer everything in your temple, going to drive out all the money. Did you notice all the money changers? Drove out all of them? You're going to have one Lord. See? But without me, without my life, thorn tree, you're going to stay a thorn tree. Without me, you can do nothing. But with me, all things are possible. Amen? So he says, without me, you can do nothing. Now notice, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch. That's the book of Hebrews. Oh, and is withered, men gather them and cast them into the fire. That's the book of Hebrews. If you abide not in me, if you reject Jesus and go back to the law, or Muhammad, or Buddha, or atheist, or anything else, you're going to lose it. You'll be cast into the fire. He couldn't draw a more clear picture. It's me or hell. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you abide not in me, now, notice, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. Fruit can't wither where fruit never was. This is somebody who walked with him for a while, produced fruit for a while. First John talked about them too, these guys who ended up becoming antichrist, speaking against Christ, going against his teachings, even though they came in the name of the Lord. And it says they wound up being twice dead, plucked up by the roots. How many of you are going to abide in Christ? Boy, that was weak. How many of you are going to abide in Christ? I won't give an altar call right now unless you amen. Amen. You abide in Christ, there is no other. You know what they're trying? I read an article this morning that was on charisma. It's pretty good. You know what the agenda right now is? To try and remake Christianity without the Bible. Yeah, that's really what's happening. I hadn't seen it in that plain of language, but that's what's happening. Yeah, you can be a Christian and not pay attention to that, and you can be a Christian and not live according to that. No, you can't either. No, you can't. You abide in me. We're going to get to it. Right. In fact, the very next verse, verse 7, if you abide in me, oh, if you underline, and my words abide in you. I mean abide in you. I mean abide. I mean high up in you, where your first thought are his words. In every situation. I had a counseling session with a very good young man. He's very young. Reminds me a lot of myself in my early days. He loves the Lord. He really does. Just young, okay? And he would make statements that I know I used to make all the time. But so he, just like one of them. Well, he says, I forgive, but I never forget. And on the inside of me, it's like, let's see now. That's not what Jesus said. The Father, he forgives. Now, I'm not saying we actually forget, but you forgive whether you forget it or not. Right. See, he made another one statement while we're talking. The issue was, anyway, I'm going to get into the issue. Didn't matter. He would say, burn me once, shame on you. Burn me twice, shame on me. I used to say that all the time in my early days. Now, my first thought, that's not what Jesus said. That's not what Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7. Yeah. 70 times 7. And really, it goes even beyond there. Yeah. See, my words must abide in you. My words must abide in you, high up, living. You know, big problem with the body of Christ, they don't read their Bible. Right. They just flat don't know what he said. And if they do, they heard it 10 years ago in a Sunday school class read by somebody else. That's not abiding in you. That's not high up in you. That's not your first thought when you need help. Okay. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, now you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, I want to talk about two different kinds of fruit. Hold your place right there. Go over to Galatians just for a moment. I didn't write this one down. On this, going from a thorn tree to a fruit tree, I want to talk about there's two kinds of fruit. The first kind is the fruit of the new nature, okay? And it will cause you to walk righteously, by the way, all right? And it's described in Galatians 5, starting in verse 22. Now it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and it has capitalized there, like that's the Holy Spirit. But it's really okay, but that's not what he's talking about. The fruit of your spirit is the same as the one who spawned you, the Holy Spirit, which is the same as Christ in you because God is one. Okay? But the fruit of the Spirit, so the first level of fruit is this kind. It's love, joy, peace, long suffering. Sue and I get calls. I know Pastor Jim and Bronk, I know you guys get the same calls that we do all the time from our congregations. You know, like, Pastor, I just got to call you up today because I'm having trouble. I'm just having too much joy. The peace is just too much today. What do I do? I'm walking in too much peace and too much love. There's too much gentleness going on in my life here. No. Sadly, this is not the abundant fruit that it should be on our limbs. But this is the first level. I call this the fruit of the new nature. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now, that's the first level of fruit, and we are supposed to produce that kind of fruit. Plus, it sets you free from sin. Okay, it sets you free. But really, now go back over to where we were in John 15. Jesus here, though, specifically is talking about prayer fruit, answered prayer fruit. He's talking about miracles. He's talking about salvations. This is where your old heathen Uncle Fred that you've been praying for 12 years finally gets saved. This is where you lay your hands on Tommy Perez and Tommy Perez gets out of the wheelchair. It's where you lay your hands on Homer Betancourt and Homer Betancourt can see with 20/20 vision. And he says plainly, now he's talking about prayer fruit here. He's talking about the kind of fruit that he had. If you abide in me and my words abide, live high up in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now look at the next verse. Herein are you glorified. We've got to get this straight. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. We're coming into real discipleship now. See, I'm teaching to you guys because you're the tip of the spear. You're here on a Monday morning. What are you doing in church on a Monday morning? The world thinks you're crazy. Most of the church world thinks you're crazy. Because you're hungry. Your spirit knows what is possible. And there's a hunger in you that will not rest until you're walking in it. That's why you're here. So I'm preaching to you like you're the tip of the spear for revival, because you are. So shall you be my disciples. We've been going through the Sermon on the Mount in Tulsa. And it starts off, he spake unto his disciples. Now, not everybody remained a disciple. Many people started off following him. And then when it got too tough, where he would say something like, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, they couldn't take it anymore. And it says many left and followed him no more. And I noticed he didn't go running down the street after him. He just turned to the 12 and said, what about you? There's the door. Basically, he didn't, not the exact words, but you want to go too? I'll get another 12 and start again. No, we're going to follow him all the way. We're going to be his disciples. And we're going to bear the same fruit. Why? That our Father be glorified. This is all about bringing glory unto the Father. As long as it's about me and our, even to my ministry. I'm going to have a worldwide ministry. You need to epoxy your britches to a chair. You need to pray until your lips roll off on the floor. You might need to push away from the dining table a little more often. Better get in that word till it abides in you. And you need to worship God like he's your only hope, because he is. Oh, man. I don't know about you guys. I'm having a good time. I'm glad y'all come to watch me have a good time. Now, he says it again. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Say, I think this is a good confession. I am a good tree. I'm not a thorn tree covered with fig leaves. I am a fig tree. And I'm on my way to producing fruit. Because the time is now. And when I do produce fruit, it's not for my glory. It's to glorify my Father through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. Let's look at that same thing. Go over to John 14. You're close. Just back up one chapter. Hallelujah. I got 15 minutes now. I hadn't even been going an hour yet. Come on. I hear the rumbling. I hear the rolling thunder. Oh, it's your tummies. I'm sorry. John 14. Now, our famous verses, starting in verse 12. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works. Now, we're talking fruit again. The works. We're talking prayer fruit. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now notice, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, so I can make you somebody in the earth. So your name can become big. No. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Then he says it again. Just in case we didn't get it. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I see this is the same thing that he was saying back up there in John 15. Or over there in John 15 where we read a moment ago. But he's also talking about you got to abide in me. My words have to abide big time in you. And you have to submit to the pruning of the Father. The Father is the husbandman. There might still be some branches not exactly producing the kind of fruit we want here. Okay. Now, you just got to, you're in John, you're close. Go to John 8. See, when he did the first John series through me, it cast the light on this verse. I must have read this verse hundreds of times over my lifetime as a Christian, but it wasn't until the first John series that I really discovered, can I say it this way? Jesus was serious about this verse. John 8, look at verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. We don't have any problem with that, do we? Yeah, where we have a problem is in the Sermon on the Mount where he says, you're the light of the world. Anyway, that's another message. I am the light of the world. Now notice though, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I'm telling you right now, the church at large is filled with people who claim to be Christian, who are walking in darkness. And I mean gross darkness. Living in open fornication. Getting drunk and bragging about it on Facebook. Having a party and using words that are just not appropriate. I said that pretty well. Okay, living in darkness. Jesus is serious about this. He is just, when I went, by the time I got through with 1 John, man, John says it plain. If you say you have fellowship with him, yet you're walking in habitual darkness, you, sir, are a liar. You are a liar. Jesus is serious about this. He's complete. I mean, John 8 is the same chapter just a little later on. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Makes you free from what? Darkness. Yes. You don't walk in sin anymore. Amen. And if you habitually keep walking in sin, John says you're the same old tree. You just covered yourself with the fig leaves now. Don't want to be a thorn tree covering yourself with religion. Get saved. I'm going to do it right now. Just say this with me. There's somebody watching that recognizes for the first time maybe in your life, you're not really born again. The Bible plainly says, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's all just do it. I know everyone in this room is already born again, but let's do it in unison with them. Say, Father,
I believe
Jesus Christ is your Son.
Father,
I believe that he shed his blood to pay the price for my sin. I believe that Jesus is raised from the dead. And I believe, Lord, that you are my Lord from this day forward. I repent of sin. Come into me, Jesus. Come into this temple. Drive everything out that's not of you. As for me, the best I know how, I repent of every sin. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. For changing me from a sin tree to be a righteous tree. And I will produce fruit. Because now I'm a good tree. And I will dine on your words. I will fill myself with your words. And I abide in you. You abide in me. And your words abide in me. And I'll bear much fruit to glorify the Father. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. You just got born again. You are no longer an old thorn tree trying to cover yourself with religion. You have become a fig tree. And if you will submit to the Father, allow the Holy Spirit to begin pruning off some limbs, more and more fruit's going to begin to appear. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yep, I think we can do this. The human race consists of only two kinds of trees, and that's bad and good. You can cover a thorn tree with fig leaves, but it is still a thorn tree. You got to be sure you're a good tree. Be sure the life of Christ is you at your core. You are a good tree, and a good tree produces good fruit. All right. Can't pass it up. I started to. Your stomach's just going to have to growl. Go to Matthew 7. We're going to look at just this one part here again. He said this in more. See, we looked earlier at Luke 6. Now we're going to look at Matthew 7. Where he talks again about the good tree and the bad tree. Matthew 7. Hey, we still got 8 minutes. He says here, beware, starting in verse 15, beware of false prophets. Now notice, they come to you in sheep's clothing. Today I'd say they come on your television station. They come in sheep's clothing, meaning they come as Christians. They come declaring that they are ministers, that they know what they're talking about. But beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, see, inwardly, here he says they're ravening wolves. You could say it, inwardly, they're still a thorn tree. You got that? You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns? I mean, this is like Jane C. the Ball. He's trying to get this down. Do you gather grapes of a thorn tree? Do you go to a thistle bush in order to get your figs? No. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now notice, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit, it's hewn down. And what happens? Cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Now, again, he's warning everyone. Oh, I wish I could just do it all in context here. Matthew 7. Come to look at Matthew 7, verse 21. This is the warning. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Not everyone that says they're a good tree is a good tree. They're ravening wolves at their core. They're still a thorn tree. They're covered with fig leaves. And they're in the church preaching as ministers of God. But they're no more saved than a murderer. Okay? They're just thorn trees covered with fig leaves. They'll come in prophesying and preach it. But look, he says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? See, they're looking at what the activities that they're trying to do for the Lord. But notice, Jesus goes to the core of the tree. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, what? Ye that work what? Iniquity. They're still a thorn tree. They're raving. I don't know what I'm doing. Well, I didn't know what I'm doing. I don't know what's causing that. They're ravening wolves. They're still got that sin nature on the inside, and it's still producing sin. Now, all of us are being pruned. Again, I have to keep throwing that in there. But if you've been 10 years, 20 years, 30 years at this, and you're living in open fornication, and you're getting drunk all the time, and getting high all the time, and still telling them dirty jokes, and enjoying them dirty jokes, and got internet fingers with pornography, if you've got all of that, 10, 20, 30 years, you're still the same tree. You're just covered with fig leaves now. And what's sad is we've got those fig leaf-covered thorn trees prophesying God's okay with it. God's not okay with it. He said, be careful of them. You will depart from me, all ye that work iniquity. You're still a thorn tree. Still. Okay? Now, got to give you these two. We're on page 3. We're doing pretty good. I want you to see it in your Bible, Titus chapter 2. If you haven't underlined this verse and put little eyeballs out in the margin and put look and anything you can, we're going to give you the definition of grace. This is the purest definition of grace I've ever found in the Bible. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. This is the grace of God that brings salvation. I don't want any other kind, do you? I only want the kind of grace that brings salvation. Titus 2, starting in verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Now, it teaches us something. This grace teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. How is that possible? Christ in you. Christ has to fill the temple. Christ himself, his life becomes the sap of you, the tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And you're able to do it by Christ in you. But it's up to you to say no. He doesn't say no for you. You're the one that has to deny ungodliness. You say no to worldly lust. Your old flesh is not saved and it's still lust. You're the one that says, notice it says denying. You're the one that has to do the denying. The point is, you can now. Amen. Because of Christ in you. Yes. You're not a thorn tree covered with fig leaves. Glory to God, you're a fig tree producing fruit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Righteousness fruit. You're the planting of the Lord. Yes. One more time. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I got 2 minutes. And I may take some of your afternoon. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 19. By two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Here's your second one. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. You know up there he said, I never knew you. Your fig leaves are not going to fool. Did Adam's fig leaves fool God? Did he look right through it? Them fig leaves, I don't care what kind of works you present. He's going to look right to the core of the tree. The Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We're right back to John 8, verse 12. Those that follow me shall not walk in darkness. Why? For they shall have the light of life. That light of life is Christ in you. That's when he comes in, takes up residence in your temple. That's when you become a fig tree that can produce righteousness fruit on your limbs. And you can deny ungodliness and say no to worldly lust. Hallelujah. Now, the only, last one, I promise, last one. Go to Matthew 7 again. This is the only place of safety. Right after Jesus said what he said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. These are the very next words right out of his mouth. And it's the only place of safety right here. Matthew 7, verses 24 through 28. Notice it starts off with therefore. Therefore comes because of verse 23. I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore, because that's the case. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them. Boy, if you underline, and doeth them. Circle it. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now, we use this all the time to teach about overcoming the trials of life, and we should. But that's really not the subject. The subject here in context is heaven or hell. You're either going to be a good tree or one that's cut down and cast into the fire. This is heaven or hell he's talking about. The only place of safety is to hear his sayings and do them. If my words abide in you, they've got to live in you. They've got to be high up in your knowledge. You've got to be right where you need them every time there's a decision to be made. His words abide in you. And if you do them, your house is on the rock. You're going to make it. But everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, they shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. He heard, but he did not do. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, now get this, the people were astonished at his doctrine. You mean I got to quit sinning? You mean I got to do what you say? Or I might be cast into the fire? They were astonished at this doctrine. I'm going to tell you right now, the rich man in Lazarus, that rich man was surprised when he woke up in hell. He was surprised when he woke up in hell. He thought he was okay. I was a seed of Abraham. I'm a Jew. I'm the promised people. He was surprised. I'm living for my best life now. I'd be glad when that wretched Lazarus quits bugging me and sitting out on my front porch. He was surprised when he woke up in hell. And this false grace message that's going around is going to be a lot of people surprised when they wake up in hell. He tells you plainly, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Now notice, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. It is sad. This kind of echoes what Jim said last night. It is sad that Christians today are astonished at his doctrine. Today they're astonished. And you better not wait till judgment day to find out who has authority here. Honey, it ain't you. It's him. You better hear what he says and do them now. Don't be a thorn tree covering yourself with fig leaves. Let's be fig leaves that produce figs. Did you get anything out of that? I did. I'm going to go run around the church now. Hallelujah. Glory to God.